Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Take a 5-minute break for news at this time every day on Today's Issues. Hope you went and grabbed yourself a sandwich or something. Now you kick back and listen to the rest of our program here. And to help us kind of get a handle on the news that's going on in our country and maybe around the world, Steve Jordahl from across the road at OneNewsNow.com.
I kind of hope they sat and listened to the news instead of going and getting a sandwich.
Most of it was you.
I don't know if any of it was me in that particular one.
But well, anyway, they could have been making a sandwich while they're listening to American Family Radio.
That's what they wanted.
And hopefully that's what they were doing. All right, Steve, what have we got cooking?
I just can't stop thinking about what happened to the Saints.
Yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
NFC Championship game. And let me just say, full disclosure, I've been a Rams fan since I was about 8 years old. And so I am very happy that the Rams are going to the Super Bowl, but I got to say, that was the Saints got robbed.
That was
the worst call/non-call I've ever seen there at the end of the game.
So it was a pass interference call. For those of you who aren't football fans or know much of the rules, bear with us just briefly. It was a pass interference call. The ball clearly, or the contact clearly, was made by the Los Angeles Rams defense before the ball got there. And had they made the call, it would have given the Saints a first down and allowed them to run out the clock as it was.
And kick a field goal
and kick a field goal and win the game. As it was, they didn't. It tied. It got tied. And in overtime, the Rams won and are going to the Super Bowl. And the Saints are going home.
Yes. And even the Rams defender admitted afterwards, he said, "Oh, yeah, man, I hit him. I didn't want him to get a touchdown." Clearly pass interference.
And
he
worked.
Said, "Oh, well." And I'll say this. The two playoff games yesterday, the NFC and the AFC championship games, the other one was the Patriots and the Chiefs, were two of the most exciting football games I have seen in a long time.
Both overtime games? First time that's ever happened.
They were really, really fun games to watch. Not if you're a Saints fan, though, or a Chiefs fan.
It's too bad. You don't want any game, even if you're not a fan, to be marred like that, but they were fantastic games.
That game with the Rams and the Saints was a really good game up until that point, and the rest of it was good too. Yeah. But it's always going to be remembered by that non-call, and that's unfortunate.
And you know, we all know that in the midst of even a tip quote normal game, there are going to be still calls that upset one side or the other, And some people are giving this ref the benefit of the doubt, and I guess I do a little bit, but at the same time, these guys are getting paid big bucks, and they're asked to work for, what, an hour of clock time? It ends up being 3 or 4 hours. But you get what I'm saying. Their job is to either throw the flag or don't throw the flag, and then make calls or don't make calls, and to just... I don't know whether he was in La La Land, like looking up at the Big Mac sign or something.
Maybe. He's hungry.
Was thinking about what he's going to eat after the game. But I just don't know how you just watch that.
You know what my personal opinion
and
is?
And don't do anything.
My personal opinion is he froze on the big stage. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't believe people are saying, I was fixed, he was paid off.
Oh, no, I don't believe that at all.
I think he just froze on the big stage because – as that play unfolded, he realized throwing the flag ends the game basically for the Rams, gives it to the Saints, and he hesitated. And the longer he hesitated, the harder it became to actually pull the flag out. I think he just froze.
Let me throw another possibility out there to you.
And then we need to move on.
And then we'll move on. But the other possibility is, I know that if they got video review, I know certain things are reviewable by video and certain things aren't, and that is not a reviewable call.
Right.
So first of all, if it's going to change the destiny of a team and the Super Bowl, make an exception.
Right.
And the second thing, in defense of the ref, they are told to let the play play out, and then they can go fix something if they got it wrong later. It's better to err on the side of picking up the fumble and letting the guy run in and then finding out that his knee was on the ground than calling it right there to find that you robbed the team of a touchdown. And with that mentality – it kind of goes to this guy not wanting to pull the flag out at that time, figuring they could go back and fix it, which they didn't. But, yeah, it's too bad for Saints fans. They will have their day.
So a tip for the Super Bowl refs, if the defender, if the safety or the cornerback tackles the receiver,
throw the
15
flag.
Yards down the field, throw the flag.
Throw the flag.
And then you can, if it's wrong, you can fix it later.
That's right.
All right, let's go. Wow. Let's get to non-football news.
All right, non-football news, some of the craziness that's going on in the country. I just wanted to take you to California. This is the California State Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, as you know, every legislature in the country is starting afresh as of January after the midterms. And so this California Senate Judiciary Committee was setting its rules, how we're going to operate this year. The committee chairman is a woman named Hannah Beth Jackson, and she has some new rules for this committee. Let's hear what she has to say.
Respecting the fact that we are now a state recognizing the non-binary designation as a gender, he and she, we are now merging them so that we are using what my grammar teacher would have had a heart attack over. We are using the phrase they. And I appreciated Senator Mawning observing that the chair is she, but in the spirit of gender neutrality for the rules of this committee, it now designates the chair as they. So the world is a different place. My grammar teacher's long gone, and I won't be hearing from her. And if any of you...
From them.
From them, exactly. From they.
I won't be hearing from them, from they.
Now, listen, I can't think of a better, Walker, I just can't think of a better, more perfect demonstration of the insanity that we're witnessing.
Absolutely.
In California leading the way
so
into, that's
where was that audio from?
It was from their committee meeting in Sacramento. That was a, you know, like broadcast like some of the,
you know, you know who that sounded like? It sounded like Dianne Feinstein.
No, it was not.
Yeah, well, I thought it was
like
for
her.
A minute,
it did,
but it
sound
sounded
like
just
her.
Like
all,
her. But
all California women sound the
yeah,
same.
Yeah, but this is a disaster that we can't call males and females by their proper pronouns. And, you know, this is going to be a disaster. This is going to cause a lot of Democrats to have to step down.
And the chair is a woman, and she recognized it with her last statement, had to correct herself.
Yeah, and she's announcing this new policy, and she fumbles it. 5 seconds in.
Yep.
Yes.
And but that's going to be chaotic trying to waffle around the pronouns when you're trying to be talking about content. You know,
it could be confusing and legally jeopardizing. I just got to imagine
it's a legal nightmare.
When you are making laws and when you are conducting business, when you're not clear about gender, when you're, I don't know.
It is a legal nightmare. Just like the whole homosexual, quote, marriage is a legal nightmare because legislatively no action was taken on it. So there's no statutes to cite. There's a Supreme Court ruling and a paragraph that says they think it's legal. Other than that, what to do about divorce, adoption, all this, it's anarchy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with this, what is the police officer going to say? We have a gender-neutral suspect that is walking down the street here. And
or the suspect in the robbery is a gender-neutral person. We can't tell you if it's a man or a woman.
Or the race. We don't want to be racist.
Yeah, right. So good luck finding them.
Look for a human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I wonder if you're a Christian in the state legislature or in this Senate. It was a Senate Judiciary.
It was the Senate Judiciary
state
Committee,
Senate.
And one of the, I would say, seven people on the committee didn't object, but he did a no vote. Probably
okay.
The only
what
Republican.
I'm wondering is if you go, listen, my Christian faith does not allow me to twist and torture reality like you're requiring me to do. I will not participate. I have a First Amendment right in this country. I wonder what happens to that person
they
who says
you,
that.
They don't,
interesting.
Man. You know, and along the same lines, Stanford University, again in California, is opening up its first co-ed locker room, all-gender locker room. What could possibly go wrong with having an all-gender locker room?
So men and women, or excuse me, they are going to be getting changed and showering in the same facility?
Yes. Now, it does say they have, it includes 3 private showers with changing rooms, 1 dry changing room, 5 private bathroom stalls, and day use lockers. So for those that want to use that and change in some form of privacy, you can, but there's nothing to stop those who are using it that don't want to watch other people change.
To me, that's the only solution here. You've got the radicals on the left who want to deny reality and say there's no difference between men and women and we're going to combine everything. You have everybody else, the other 95% of people who have a brain and see this and understand this properly. What's going to happen is in places like Target and other places, you're just going to have to, everything's individual. Individual single-use bathrooms, individual single-use showers.
A lot of people are doing that, yeah.
And it's going to be a lot more expensive because that's what happens when you want to deny reality.
Right.
But that's the only way out of this.
Well, here's my question. How long ago was the Duke lacrosse scandal thing where it got, even though the Duke players were innocent, although they were accused of raping and doing all kinds of bad stuff. It got us talking, got the whole country talking about this rape culture on college campuses and how bad it was and how, you know.
2006.
2006.
That's 12 years ago,
but,
13.
But how much has changed since then? And that started it. And for the next number of years, they talked about the danger that women were in on college campuses. And now you're throwing them in the same locker room with men. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. But you know, Ed, to your point, I'm not really sure that the left will be happy with single occupancy use. Because after all, the whole idea is to force what they view as their reality on others.
Right.
And so if the self-identified, the biological male who self-identifies as a female can't go in a female locker room to receive the affirmation that he is a, quote, female, if he has to go in somewhere by himself and he's not affirmed, doesn't that kind of defeat their whole purpose?
I think it does, but what I'm saying is this is the problem we have with Target. Now, we have the boycott going on. It'll be 3 years coming up in April of Target because they allow men to go into women's bathrooms and changing areas. Hmm. Well, when we started the boycott and 1 million people signed up to boycott Target, what Target said was, well, we're spending $19 million to create single-use, single-occupancy bathrooms. And the media started calling us, well, are you satisfied with that? And we said no, because they're still keeping the public changing areas and the public bathrooms, and women and children are going to be threatened by not the transgender people. We were talking about the perverts,
sexual predators,
who would use the policy to gain access to their victims. And so the only way that traditionalists and normal people who see a difference between male and female, the only way that we're going to be made happy is if you do not have group facilities open to all.
Right.
So to your point, if you have everybody has to use single occupancy and there are no group facilities, to me, that's the only way to solve it. But it will never make the other side happy because they want to keep the group use and then force you to say, well, you see this guy who's clearly a guy, you've got to call him a woman. And they won't be satisfied until that happens.
Right. Yeah. Do you guys, have we been talking about Karen Pence going to work for this Christian school? Do you guys?
Not yet.
I think we did maybe a little bit last week, but I don't remember. We didn't today.
Well, I wanted to play a couple of things. This is where this is going. So just to remind you all,
explain the story.
Karen Pence, the Second Lady of the United States, has taken a job back at the former school where she taught before she was Second Lady of the United States, Emmanuel
Wife
Christian
of
school.
Mike Pence, Vice
Wife
President.
Wife of Mike Pence. And this school is a Christian school, and the school maintains biblical standards when it comes to the behavior of its staff and its students. Sexuality, in other words, there's no sexual activity outside of a marriage between a man and a woman. That's their standard. If you're going to teach at this school, they don't want you to be breaking that, whether it's you're gay or whether you're just having an affair out of marriage or whatever. They want you to set a Christian standard for the kids at this Christian school. Well, the left is having none of it. The left is having none of it. They are attacking Karen Pence for being in an anti-gay school, and they're leading. And just it's getting sad. This I wanted to play you a little bit. This is CNN's John King, who was on a panel on CNN discussing whether or not this what should happen in this. I want to tell you how far the thinking goes. You're going to hear John King, and then you're going to hear Olivier Knox is going to reply. So this is John King starting out.
Does it matter that all taxpayers pay for her housing? All taxpayers pay for her Secret Service protection? She, you know, it's not her fault that she needs protection. This is the world we live in. But all taxpayers pay for, subsidize her life. Does it matter?
So you mean, does her First Amendment, do her First Amendment freedoms get somehow curtailed because taxpayers pay for her accommodations and her security? I don't know that a lot of people would sign on to that.
So if she, since she's going to this sexist, anti-gay school, she shouldn't get Secret Service protection.
That's unbelievable.
Now, who was that in that exchange?
John King was the man asking the question. Yeah. Olivier Knox, and these are all CNN contributors. Well, John King is a host. Olivier Knox is a contributor. Was saying that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, to me though, that is the mindset of the secular left. They don't like religion, generally speaking. They really hate evangelical Christianity if the Christian is living it according to the Bible, mm-hmm. and they want these Christians to be considered illegitimate citizens. That's why we have people coming before the U.S. Senate, you know, for confirmation when they are nominated for a post either on a court or in the
executive branch,
White House, or in the executive branch, and they're being roasted according to their religious beliefs.
Right.
And the implication is you shouldn't be in government if you. You know, on the court, executive branch, whatever, if you believe these archaic beliefs.
Yeah, and they're going even as far to say, if we're in charge, we'll just pull your Secret Service protection.
We're paying, taxpayers shouldn't have to subsidize
Talk about
your
a
protection.
Threat.
I know.
Yeah, we'll just pull your Secret Service protection, and, you know, that's your own risk. You're going to go teach at a Christian school. And this is not just a private Christian school. This is a church. This mm-hmm. is a church that runs a Christian school within the church. The left is going after the church. This is about whether private schools should be able to have standards for who they employ, And this their policies, I read them. It's not just about homosexuality.
Right.
It goes into fornication. It goes into all types of sexual immorality.
Sure.
And a very good policy. I would like to go to the
church. I will say this, for all those Christians who mocked and criticized Christians who voted for Donald Trump because they believed he would stand for religious liberty. Mm-hmm. Just imagine if Hillary Clinton had won. I'm just not talking about Republican and Democrat. I'm talking conservative constitutionalists versus secular progressives. Mm-hmm. That's really what's going on here. It's not just Republican and Democrat. If Hillary Clinton had won, I think we would have, what John King just suggested, I think this would have been up for discussion.
Yeah.
And you would have had Christian schools, Christian colleges, even churches put under tremendous pressure to cave.
You want to be a nonprofit under the IRS code? Well,
exactly,
then you're going to have to follow the INDA that Congress just passed. I'm talking hypothetically.
Yes. So that clearly would have been the world in which we lived in. So for those of you who criticize who voted for Donald Trump, think about that world and what it would have meant for your church, school/college.
Vice President Mike Pence was on the Washington Watch program with Tony Perkins here on AFR, and he responded to this. And to me, it's all the more epic because they were going to break as he responded. So there's bed music under it, which just makes it even better. This is what Vice President Pence had to say.
The attacks on Christian education by the mainstream media have got to stop. Mm. I mean, we cherish the freedom of religion in this country. This administration stands foursquare for the freedom of religion of people of all faiths. And to see the mainstream media criticize my wife because she's choosing to return to the classroom of an elementary Christian school is wrong. Again, the attacks on Christian education must end.
I don't know about you. I'm ready to go to war after that.
That sounds like a movie trailer.
It does.
The Avengers return in their battle against Thanos.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. So you're saying that was coming up on a break.
They were coming
up on a
break.
They had the music bed underneath it, but it sounded just like a movie trailer.
It does.
In a world without religious liberty.
And this ties directly into, remember when President Trump nominated Betsy DeVos to head up the Department of Education.
Yeah.
Well, she was like, you know, a couple weeks into her tenure at the Department of Education, and I think she wanted to visit. She visited a private school in the D.C. area, and she got – there were protesters outside. She had to get security to walk her in the back door, and people were blasting, how dare you visit a private school as an education secretary? But that shows their disdain for private education, but – the reason they're disdained at it is because it's inherently Christian education.
Yes.
The majority of the private schools are Christian-run schools.
Right, right.
All right, what else we got?
I want to bring up the situation going on in Iran right now. We've got a couple, maybe more than a couple, but this is a story that's highlighting some Christians who are asked to renounce their faith in exchange for their freedom, and they refuse. Their name is Saheb Fadai and Fatima Bakhteri, and please forgive me for butchering those names, but these are believers in Tehran who were brought up on charges before the judge, and the judge said, if you renounce your Christian faith, you can go ahead and we'll drop the charges, and they said no. So they're going to be returning for what could be some lengthy prison sentences, or as we saw in the case, it was in Pakistan, but one lady in Pakistan was sentenced to death.
Yeah.
And so this could be happening there too. At least, it looks like this article says they will be spending some time in infamous Evin prison, which we know
supposedly a terrible place.
Yeah.
So well,
these are heroic Christians, and we do battle faithfully in this country against Second Lady Karen Pence is doing. But there are Christians in other parts of the world whose lives are on the line, and these people are heroic.
I try never to use believers. The word persecution when it talks to when it's talking about what we're going through here.
Right,
we're certainly under the gun. We certainly are being targeted,
and there's different levels.
But I want to save something for this for when a Christian literally puts their life on the line for their faith in Jesus. That there needs to be some way to express that's different than those
of
us
being mocked and having people who disagree with you is totally different than what these Christians are facing. And this is why we need to remember these Christians, because this should cause us to not only fight for them overseas, but also fight to keep what we have here, because we don't want America to be like Iran.
And we don't
want America to be like China.
Walker, to your point, how can we not stand up for righteousness in this country and take a stand around the water cooler when there are Christians risking their lives for their faith?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
We got about 60 seconds tops.
I gave my fun
you know,
out.
That's a first for Steve to run out of content.
No, I got stuff we could talk about. let me give you some. It's not going to be.
What was your fun out?
It was the gender.
Oh.
But since it went so well with the other, I moved it up.
Sorry, we made you use your fireworks.
You did. But other things to look out for in the world, there's some battles going on in Israel, and Israel has attacked some Iranian targets inside of Syria. An escalation of the war. I was seeing a video on YouTube. These people were skiing on Mount Hermon in Israel, skiing in Israel. And they see the Iron Dome rocket go up over them as it takes out this.
Israel can help us fight ISIS.
Iranians got forces in Syria, huh? I wonder what that's all about.
I don't know. It may be because they're afraid of something. It just can't be that they have designs on world conquest.
Yeah. All right, folks. That's all the time we have for today's edition of Today's Issues. Please be praying for Tim Wildman, who is sick today. Maybe he'll be back in the captain's chair tomorrow. For Fred Jackson and Steve Jordal and Walker Wildman, I'm Ed Vitagliano. Thank you for joining us. There is more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Bye for now.